News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Hey, love to hear from you. Turning up your voice at 343-0106, Dan and Dalton. And the text line's been very busy this morning, along with some, including some people who are listeners, and we appreciate that, who take issue with us joking that bears aren't
dangerous.
We were kind of kidding that segment. Bears are being sighted everywhere. I realized you said there's a video of a man being mauled by a bear in his own garage.
I don't know if there was a video of that. There's a story. Yeah, recently, two stories I saw. Man attacked by bear at Yellowstone, which hasn't happened since last year. So that's 2 years in a row now. And then also, I think I saw a man in Colorado attacked by a bear in his garage. So what we're clearly trying to say is bears are not dangerous. Is, I think, the point we're trying to make.
Well, the point we're trying to make is that this one lady, she got all amped up and had enough courage to go out and push a bear. This was a big bear.
Yeah.
Off her wall because the bear, you know, was threatening her pets. And then she gathered her pets and ran inside. But she had the gumption to go and do something about it and shoved, pushed a bear off a wall. And it's a viral video, and you can check it out. I think Atlanta's trying to square it away on our Facebook page now.
Oh, yeah. It definitely went viral. Yeah. For sure.
So we were talking about how now this fear of bears could be keeping, like Fauci would say, you know, the best I can say is stay inside. Yeah. Don't go outside and don't put, you were saying, don't put the pie on the kitchen
windowsill.
Yeah. I know it's a long tried and true American tradition to put the pie out there, and especially it's done often in cartoons, but we ask you not to do that, even though the 4th of July is right around the corner. I mean, they'd be wrapping into the...
Yeah, it's just, it's safer at home right
safer
now.
Safer at home right now with the bears and Sarah Land. So, anyhow, but it's your choice as an American, as a citizen of Sarah Land. Yeah.
Is it true bears less likely to attack if you're wearing a mask? And if that's the case, why are we not all wearing masks right now?
Hey, shifting quickly. Russian hackers.
Yeah.
So now the Russian hackers are messing up our lunch and our diet. And when I say diet, I don't mean you're on a diet. I mean you want a hamburger. So this could be a serious situation. But as it stands right now, this is a supplier that I guess supplies the U.S. with 1/4 of our...
A quarter, yeah. A quarter of the beef supply.
Crazy.
And I think that's just the U.S. Might be... Surely not the entire world. Yeah, a quarter of the beef supply for the U.S. It's this company, JBS, which is based in Brazil. They operate in 15 countries and in total employ 250,000 people. And they've been hacked, we're guessing, I guess, by a Russian criminal gang. That's that's what the federal government has been saying. That's what the Biden administration said yesterday, which this comes off the heels of that attack by a group named DarkSide on the Colonial Pipeline in early May. And we saw what happened then with that attack. Of course, that was on the largest fuel pipeline in the U.S., which supplied, I can't remember what percentage of the entirety of fuel along the East Coast and in the Southeast, but it was a major, major percentage that was supplied by that pipeline. And gas is a little bit of a different story than beef, for sure, but people started lining up at gas stations immediately. Prices went through the roof, and gas stations started running out of fuel.
Yeah,
and
that was panic, just, panic buying. Are we going to have panic beef buying, you said?
That's the question, right? Because this was Colonial down. They were about 5-6 days they were down, maybe even a full week.
Yeah.
And it turned out they did pay the ransom early on.
Yeah.
$4.4 million they paid in ransom for this ransomware attack. So the questions now are, did JBS pay a ransom already? Because if it's a ransomware attack, they're asking for a certain amount of money. The federal government's involved. As someone asked on the text line earlier, and I need to look up who said it so I can give proper credit. I think it was, let's see, it was, wow, we've got a lot of texts this morning.
I know.
Chuck, he said, why is no one calling this economic terrorism and treating it as such? It's a great question.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Biden administration took a light tone with that first hacking, but still, in this day and age, you know, where, like you said earlier this morning, Dan, we're lucky that this hasn't been an entire power grid or, you know, airport control system.
We're lucky To this point.
To this point.
And
yeah.
So many things are what is out of play? I mean, as random as a fuel to ground beef or to food.
Yeah.
You know, I don't be a doomsayer here, but what's next?
Yeah, it could be, you know, shutting down dams. There's a million things they could do. And it's not like every company and every governmental organization is easy to hack here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still have really, really great cyber security in a lot of instances around here. And what they're clearly doing, these hacking groups, and it's not just Russia, even though they said Russia got these two. You have North Korea, who has made billions of dollars through attacks just like these across the world, and mm-hmm. by stealing from banks through cyber attacks. You got China doing this daily. You got, I mean, all of these countries that have, you know, thousands and thousands of people trying to hack just like this all day. So they're looking for weak points in the system. And it just so happens that two of the weak points they've found here recently are one major fuel line for the United States and a major meat supplier mm-hmm. for the United States.
So you say they're kind of like they're just throwing it out there, as many attacking as many as they can, and waiting on a hit.
Yeah, that's how the hacking has been done for a long time. And I'm certainly no professional. We could get Harper Tech on, Carl mm-hmm. or Abe from Harper Tech, and they could tell you all about it. But that's, you know, they set up these programs, they build these programs who are just constantly, it's like going fishing and having the ability, like literally being on a pond, going fishing, and having the ability to throw out enough lines to cover the entirety of the pond.
So you know you're going to get something.
You know you're going to get something.
So
most of the time it might be Grandpa who just logged on to Windows 95,
mm-hmm.
and you might hit him for $300-$400 to get his computer turned back on and get all the photos of his family back, which that's devastating on mm-hmm. its own, right, when that happens to someone individually.
Remember North Korea a few years ago? Hollywood was producing a movie that
yeah,
was
The Interview.
That was going to, it was a comedy about North Korea and about the dictator.
Yeah, the movie called The Interview.
And they shut it down. What?
So with that.
Exactly what happened
that
there?
That was Sony. And you had Seth Rogen and James Franco mm-hmm. making this movie where the plot was they were reporters who went into North Korea to interview Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
And then their job was to assassinate him, the North Korean dictator. Well, North Korea obviously does not like any slander headed their way. And so what they did was they hacked into Sony's offices and got a lot of emails, kind of like the John Podesta hack, remember,
yep.
Going into the 2016 election?
Yep.
They got emails that if they didn't show anything criminal, they were at the very least very embarrassing for the company. And that was economic terrorism at the time, right? And that was enough for Sony to pull the plug on releasing that video in theaters, which was exactly what North Korea wanted at the time. So,
has that movie ever seen the?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was released video on demand. I remember watching it that Christmas. This was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Still one of the funniest movies out there. I absolutely love that movie. But that you're exactly right. That's one of the kind of early instances where a very public showing of what hacking into a company can do. Now, there wasn't a supply and demand issue there.
Right.
No, it didn't shut down a quarter of the United States beef supply.
But it was embarrassing for Sony,
it was embarrassing for
sure.
For Sony. And it kind of, you know, it blurs that line where for years all we've heard throughout the war in Afghanistan, throughout previous wars, is we will not, you know,
we won't pay for ransom.
We won't pay ransom mm-hmm. to terrorists. But when you're talking about economic terrorism and they're hitting individual companies,
mm-hmm.
where does the government's role stand in that? Should companies pay ransom? Because if you're looking at me and I'm the owner of this, you know, huge fuel pipeline, and I'm standing to lose tens of millions of dollars per day, all I have to do is pay $4 million and get back online.
We got our answer right there. The government did not interfere. The White House didn't say don't pay. They allowed Colonial Pipeline to make that determination on their own.
Yeah.
And that's probably what's going on here again.
And then you also have the cover. Russia can say, well, it's just criminal gangs. We don't like it either.
Yeah.
Well, you know, probably word coming top down from there.
Teenagers in St. Petersburg, man. We don't know who these little creeps. We're so sorry.
Right.
It's 816 FM Talk 106.5. We'll check the text line. Also turning up your voice at 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwig, and Mobile Mornings. at 8:21. Jeff Ford Show comes up at 9 today, and we will have Jeff on the last segment of our show to preview things. Governor Ivey with an announcement today. She's going to do it through video.
Yeah. Yep. Expected to be a video that drops that announces, I guess, the re-election campaign of Governor Kay Ivey. It was pretty fun listening to Sean ponder what might be included in that video yesterday.
He was he was calling it a hype video. That's what he was expecting.
Like you see from like Alabama and Auburn heading into the new season, where they're, you know, all hitting the door frame before they head out of the locker room
and the hype music and all that, right?
Yeah,
that was funny. Okay, so y'all hang on, Ricky's on the line. We're going to get to him in a little bit. I was trying to think of some of the things that now. Okay, the Russian hackers are at it again. They're holding my Swiss mushroom burger hostage.
They are, yeah.
So what are the other things that just everyday people could blame on Russian hackers? And I was thinking, you know, like something goes wrong. You, a fourth grader with a failing grade in math.
Yeah.
And he says to his mom, hey, come on now.
Hey, Ma.
It's obviously Russian hackers.
It's the Russian hackers that did this, yeah.
You forget to get your wife an anniversary gift.
Oh, that has Russia written all over it.
Of course it does.
Cozy Bear, the hacking group.
That's exactly right. Honey? It was really nice.
Yeah.
Russian hackers.
Yeah, it was supposed to be in the mail by now. I ordered it online.
We do everything online.
Turns out it was just ransom headed to Russian hackers.
If you don't have the right tag on your car.
Oh, yeah.
Officer, Russian hackers. So this is going to come up now. I think Americans are going to get pretty creative and try to blame any woes they have that maybe happened online on Russian hackers. And off you go.
Exactly. Yeah. I barely made the window to get my new tags because, you know, this month was a new month for me. And you're right. I did that online. If I got pulled over today for still having the May 2020 tags on,
Russian hackers.
That's the first thing I would have said.
Say, officer, have you heard about the Russian hackers? And he would have to say, I have. I heard it with Dan and Dalton this morning. Want to talk to Ricky?
Yeah, let's talk to Ricky. I'm sure he's got something good cooked up this morning.
I'm not sure where he's going to go. Ricky, good morning.
Hey, Ricky. Oh, you got to put him in program.
Begin with.
Oh, hey, Ricky, we're going to have you start over there.
Start all over, Ricky. Go ahead.
I said, me too, so pray for me because I am so mad. I mean, they're coming after children now. They're trying to pay people in some states a $1 million lottery.
Oh, yeah.
They're offering ice creams in other states. So if people don't wake up to the kids, this is not a vaccine. This is an mRNA medical device that will not stop you from getting the flu or whatever. It might kill you or it might cripple you for sure at best. There are doctors, Dr. J. Vernon Coleman, they're lining up in Texas. They just had a big hearing in Texas. There were 4,000 deaths from the vaccines they're hiding, over 2 million side effects.
How do you hide 4,000 funerals?
They've been killed. This is going on, of course, all around the world. But in some states, the media is being deceived and keep the rollout going for the kids.
Hey, Ricky, Dan asked a great question there. How are they hiding these deaths that are happening?
Well, they're not keeping up with it, number one. They're not keeping up with none of the side effects. There's one small group in the VAERS. It's called VAERS, and it's on the CDC website. Texas just got it, the new one, and they weren't even keeping up for the first 3 months. They're not keeping up with no side effects or no, you know, if you die, just like they did with Hank Aaron and Tiffany Dover.
She's
and
alive.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Oh, he died of something else. And they're just covering it up. The media don't even know they're being used to being lied to. We're under a military attack from China or the Rothschilds or whoever. They're buying off our governors. They're buying off our sheriffs. They're buying off our police departments to go along the hospitals and nurses, doctors, too. That's what the Nuremberg trials were for in Russia. I mean, in Germany. When they found out how deep the brown shirts went and how it all went. Remember how they tried them all and found them guilty? This is the same tactic, what they're going on in World War II, is the same tactic going against us. We're all, we're being divided and conquered while the 1% is waiting on to come in and pick up the crumbs like they did in 1929 with the other crash. This is about the money, people.
Hey, Ricky.
We're being bought off governors. And this ain't about left-right either. This ain't about Democrats or Republicans. We're all being screwed.
Ricky.
They're trying to give our military the kill shot. They're trying to give our policemen the kill
Ricky.
Shot. They're trying to give our nurses and doctors the kill shot. We're
Ricky.
All being deceived
Ricky.
By this master plan to take the vax. The virus was just the... The ploy, the vaccine is the kill shot.
Ricky,
and people better wake up.
This show is about more than one voice, Ricky, okay?
I'm sorry, I can't hear on the other side. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Understandable.
Just check it. We were trying to
so,
have a conversation.
One more quick question about the vaccine, and then I have to ask you about something pretty disconcerting I saw regarding Tony the Tiger. But first, with the vaccine, you've been telling us for a year now that people are going to start dropping dead. I know plenty of people who've gotten vaccinated. When should I start to expect them to fall out?
The first one was like a placebo. The second one is going to do the damage because they hooked up a nanobike technology. That's why you got all the people with maggots sticking to them. They're making y'all all like a receiver or an antenna.
I tried
and
the
when
magnet
you crank
thing.
Up to 5G, it's going to unleash the spike proteins are going to start unleashing in your body, and you're going to become like a contagion and start infecting you and everybody else.
I was wondering why.
Man, I'm not looking forward to that day.
I walked through Spring Hill Hospital the other day and walked by the MRI machine, slammed right into it. Those magnets, man, they'll grab a hold of you after you're
so
vaccinated.
Careful.
Last thing here, Ricky. It says here you want to talk about gay cereal.
Yeah, man, I went. They got gay. They're teaching our kids how to not say he or she. You know all the acronyms. I mean, they got it on them cereal boxes,
pronouns.
All of them, and saying it's so. You know, don't use he or she. Use you know the whatever acronyms they got.
Pronouns.
All of it, but they're taking over the cereal with gay Gestapo.
Ooh.
And that's
is that an
thing.
Ice cream?
They're using the gay Gestapo
like sherbet
to divide and conquer too. That's another ploy. It's a military plan. It's like the left-right paradigm.
Boy.
They're using different ways to divide and conquer. So you know the military come in over the top and have to clean up and blah blah. And we all disappear in FEMA camps while the Rothschilds and the Freemasons and all the Rockefellers come in and just clean up and buy it all up for nothing.
So the military is using chorus class to.
They better wake up and start praying to God and find out what's going on.
Thank you, Ricky.
Military is using the kids in the musical to take us down. That's what the military, which is the military,
yes.
which has every means of conquering us imaginable. They're using
the cereal,
the slight little kids in the chorus to affect our country in this way.
And
what's up with the cereal? Where did he come?
He is right about that, and I really
help
appreciate the call, Ricky. You know, he starts on a pretty good path sometimes, and then Lord knows where it leads, Ricky. But he's right where, you know, Kellogg now, they have Tony the Tiger, the toucan, what was it, Smacker the Frog? I can't remember his name. And then you got the little Keebler elves. They've got an LGBT-themed cereal, and it encourages kids to choose their pronouns. Now, I think, I could certainly find something wrong with that, and so many others probably have an issue with it as well, but how it leads you to thinking that it's a military takeover.
Yeah.
And lost on where that bridge is.
Okay. It's 8:30 FM Talk 106.5.
Dig'em the Frog is the name.
Dig'em. Don't read into that. It's news time on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now, it's that time when we head over to McConnell Automotive and speak with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great here at FM Talk 106.5. And I know you got a nice, let's say robust lot at McConnell Automotive right now. Plenty of inventory.
That's right. We've got Yukons. We got Yukon XLs. Most of them are actually sold coming in. But, I mean, if y'all want one, come on by. Talk to one of our great sales staff. And we've got a few coming in that we slipped through the cracks. So, need to come in and check them out. And on the used car side, we have a ton of inventory. I mean, trucks, SUVs, cars. I mean, we got diesels, 3/4 tons. You got half tons. Now's the time to buy a truck. Check it all out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions on anything, call us at 251-476-4141. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today, and hopefully I'll come on by and say hi to us and pick you up a brand new ride.
Yeah, sounds like a plan to me. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
On the text line, kind of split right down the middle with Ricky's call.
Mm-hmm.
For those who wish we wouldn't go allow him, you know, that much airtime, and then others are actually, I guess they back up some of the points he makes that they think are valid. So, you know, there's some true Ricky believers out there.
Well, that's kind of exactly my point, right? And I get along with Ricky in many ways. Don't like it so much when he makes threats about me or my family, but that's okay. We all have our own crosses to bear, I guess. But you start with something where you have reason to believe that someone is lying to you, right? The government, which we've seen over the course of history, has lied to Americans plenty of times to suit their own gains. Big corporations we've seen lie to people. And when you start with something like that and you start pulling on that thread, some people keep common sense in their brains and they kind of, you know, use those two competing things like, well, it's very possible that I'm being lied to right now about whether or not I need to wear a mask. Or it's very possible that I'm being lied to right now about how dangerous this virus actually is. But then at some point, the common sense kicks in and you go, okay, I am seeing people around me, at least one or two that have died from this virus.
Mm-hmm.
And by all intents and purposes, they seemed relatively healthy to me going in, maybe a little bit older of age, maybe not the healthiest person in the world. But certainly you see, like I did, that this virus has killed, right?
We know that, yes.
And you see the number of people that have allegedly perished from COVID-19, and you hear arguments from both sides. And where I ended up was, yeah, they probably, you know, fudged on the numbers a little bit. When you're dealing with so many different hospitals, so many different competing political philosophies, and when you're dealing with people whose entire job is to be in power, like so many politicians, I mean, it takes somebody special to run for a political office, right?
Yes, and I want to come to your defense in a way. If you're listening right now, understand that when I got to this station, and I was around the radio station before I was actually on the air, and I was kind of volunteering my time even before that, but nobody was doing a better number, a better job of looking at the numbers. You was that every hour you would have a COVID update?
Yeah, people were sick of it on the text line.
They were, but they weren't sick of it at first. And you were able to work very hard to not just find some numbers, but understand the numbers
yeah.
and help them make sense for everybody else. I really appreciated that. I just thought that during that time, nobody was more aware of what the COVID numbers, if they were to be believed anyway,
right, yeah.
what they looked like and what the depth of the spread was.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do your talking about COVID-19, I just want everybody out there to understand that you know what you're talking about because it was pretty much your job for months.
For months. And for people that are texting who think we like endorse the views of callers, I mean, have you ever seen a talk show before?
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is you're not wrong to think that there's reason that people are lying to you. But at some point, you have to use a little bit of common. You don't have to do anything, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could do whatever you want. You could be as crazy as a loon. As long as you don't touch me or my family, we're cool. Or anyone else.
You can push a bear off a wall.
You can push
a
bear, exactly. But what I'm trying to say is here, we try to use a little bit of common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I know COVID is dangerous. I don't think it's the most dangerous thing in the world. We've seen it wasn't even the number one killer in the United States over this last year. It did kill a lot of elderly people and a lot of people who were in terrible shape. The vaccine. I see some of these people pulling up sites, you know, that say, oh, 4,000 people dead in Texas. Like Ricky said, show me the proof.
Right.
Just show me the proof. Right now, it appears in the short-term phase that if you are immunocompromised, if you're elderly, it's safer to get the vaccine than to risk it with COVID-19.
Right. And you're also a test case, and you had COVID-19.
Yeah.
Your family had COVID-19, basically. Not the yeah. little ones, but you had it. Your wife had it.
My parents had it.
Parents had it.
Yeah.
And everybody had suffered to varying degrees, I guess, with it, but everybody came out fine.
Yeah.
And, I, you know, this sinus infection you've had.
Has been It kicked my butt way worse.
Way worse than COVID-19. And I'm not trying to minimize what COVID-19 can do or has done. But to a lot of you who are like, man, I'm not, I give you an example. Zach, in the military, mm-hmm. in the high levels of the military,
yeah.
you know, a lot of those guys were like, they're being asked to get the vaccine. But
they're the fittest men in the world.
That's exactly right. And so they just weren't into it at all. And really, their superiors understood that mindset. Like, mm-hmm. we get it, man. But I think there was some pressure to get them vaccinated at some point.
Yeah.
But these guys were not interested in that in the very least.
Yeah. So, and it really all, to me, it comes down to personal responsibility. And where I really start to have major issues is when edicts start to come down from government of any size, where they say you have to do this or have to do that. And I think
that's where everybody gets concerned.
Yeah.
Everybody gets concerned about that. That's what the text line is littered with, is with people just talking about our rights. Interesting that yesterday, it's funny. I was asleep at the wheel, and I think a lot of us were. That yesterday, our state edict ran out.
Yeah, last night.
I wasn't even aware of that, but talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we officially, remember the PDF, the sheet that came out with Governor Ivey and Scott Harris when they started doing these pressers for coronavirus and they shut down the economy?
Mm-hmm.
They did reopen it sooner than a whole lot of states did. But we had basically red light, which was stay-at-home order, yellow light, safer at home, which we spent the majority of these last 15 months in the
safer at home.
And then green light was safer apart. And it wasn't until last night that we officially left the safer at home yellow light into the green light safer apart. And you're right. It feels like, you know, we've kind of been back to business as usual for the last, was it 3 weeks, 4 weeks? And it's great to see businesses around here, businesses at the beach, kind of getting back to it.
Have you been caught? So I've got a mask or a gaiter, which I understand is not very fortified mask at all.
That's all I've been wearing the whole time, yeah.
Yeah, so still, I cuss myself when I pull up somewhere and I'm like, oh, man, I think I need a mask to walk in here, you know, a business or whatever. Now I've got it sitting on my, not on the dashboard, but right in my car, obviously sitting there just in case I go somewhere and
they ask you to put it on.
Or you look at the door and it's like mask preferred, even though I'm double vaccinated. It seems like it's kind of a pain, but I think in some way I feel like I might be easing the fear of other people.
Yeah.
Because when you walk in, a lot of people will have a mask on at certain grocery stores or things like that. And it's like, I feel a little out of step here.
Well, I've noticed a lot of places I think may have accidentally left some of their signs up. All the places I've gone and shopped with my wife or, you know, the normal places we hit every week,
mm-hmm.
not a one of them is requiring masks anymore.
Really?
So we've been mask-free, basically, for the last, long time.
Grocery stores, pharmacies, everything?
Every one of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Interesting. Jeff Poore is going to join us here in a little bit. We're going to ask you to continue to communicate on the text line at 343-0106.
This is like announcement week, isn't it? We're really getting into some local elections from here through, you know, well into next year as we hit midterms. There's going to be a whole lot of campaigning, a whole lot of mudslinging, and it's kind of like this is almost the official start week with so many announcements being made.
Maybe a whole lot of staying in your lane, too, where somebody's not going to try and where they're not going to show their ambition this time around. Maybe next time around. We'll talk to Jeff about that on the way. 845 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwood and Mobile Mornings.
Old rolls you can catch. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwood, FM Talk 106.5. Fauci's new book, Bear, Bear Everywhere.
Bears everywhere.
Talking about all the bears out there. In the book, he claims Saraland is a hot spot.
A honeypot.
Honeypot hot spot. We call it Saraland a honeypot hot spot. What that means. All right. Enough Fauci.
When will the Fauci impressions get old? I say never.
10 minutes. I think it just got old. 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. We're followed up by the Jeff Poore Show, and Jeff joins us right now. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
So I want to get into, you know, this is a pretty important week, it seems, in Alabama politics with all these announcements. But first, you travel the state a lot. You talk to a lot of people, and I know when you're traveling and find time, you like to listen to some of the newest audiobooks, many of those times being political in nature. So you have to be excited that the Dr. Anthony Fauci book, Expect the Unexpected, 10 Lessons on Truth Service and the Way Forward, is coming out soon. And you could finish this on a drive over the Bayway. It's only 80 pages long.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I can't wait to get my copy. I might even go and get a hardback.
What does 80 pages translate to?
I don't know. And look,
an hour, like 17 minutes or something.
The only thing Anthony Fauci needs to be giving pointers on, it's not leadership or anything. It's how to chase a television camera down.
He's good at that.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think it was BuzzFeed and the Washington Post that have published 3,800 pages of Fauci emails from the very, very beginning of the pandemic. And now other people are doing the work of combing through those emails and seeing kind of what sexy stories they can find. So I don't know. I think we could see some scandal out of these emails before long.
Yeah, well, and you know, conspiring with Facebook and I think what had happened here, though, guys, our friends in the mainstream media were looking for dirt on Trump, and wow, look what we stumbled upon here.
Yeah, and then the first things they did publish was the dirt they could find in the emails on Trump, like with Fauci saying that the world's gone crazy or something like that. But, of course, we're still talking Fauci, and we're now 16 months into the pandemic. So I guess, what did I expect at this point? It seems like this week is a really important week in Alabama politics. I don't know.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
Is it just this time of year, this being the beginning of June, that this is when so many people are making their political ambitions or the next steps in their political career known?
Well, this is when you get to really start fundraising, and why this is important. This is that time when the session's over, and one of the problems, however, guys, they don't know what the district lines are going to be like for the legislature
right yet.
So that's a hold up. But for statewide office, a very heavy lift. This is big, just because this is when the governor's going to make her announcement sometime expected today. By a YouTube video or something, and then we're going to see Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth make his. He's got the big soiree, guys, up in Gunnersville. Got Riley Green and Governor Ivey attending his right there along the Tennessee River in Gunnersville, and his announcement looks to be the biggest of all. But this is when, you know, everything starts coming together and people figuring out who's working for who, and you get back to work in our perpetual election cycle here.
So Governor Ivey and Ainsworth view hurricane damage in two separate helicopters, but they're able to convene together on this announcement today. What do you make of that?
I guess Ivy and Joe Bonner are breathing a sigh of relief. They don't have to run against Will Ainsworth and anybody. You know, there's not that many people out there that could stage a statewide run for governor. And if there were, Ainsworth's won. But now we know he's running for lieutenant governor. So I guess that is cause for lending. The lieutenant governor her support.
Also email out this morning that Attorney General Steve Marshall to announce plans for political office tomorrow in Montgomery. Your feel on, is he running for re-election? Will he take a chop at governor? What do you think?
Yeah, he's running for re-election. Yeah. He's not going to lose his place in the line. I think this just turned out to be kind of a, no one, had Governor Ivey not sought re-election, then maybe we're in the land of unexpected, but given she is, everything's going to kind of stay in place, I feel like, the way it is. You have two statewide constitutional offices that will be open. That's auditor, currently held by Jim Ziegler, and Secretary of State,
right,
held by our friend John Merrill. Those will be the two interesting ones to see who's going to run for what. We have one candidate running for Secretary of State, Wes Allard. He's a former probate judge. Now he's in the legislature from Troy, but we're still waiting to see if there are going to be others to announce.
Katie Boyd Britt for U.S. Senate. Is that official? When does it become official? What are her odds?
You hate to discount anybody, but man, it's going to be tough to beat Mo Brooks with the Trump endorsement and just the mood of the electorate right now. I feel like Mo Brooks is the inevitable U.S. senator from Alabama in early 2023. But she'll run, and if anything, she'll be there. If Mo, everyone says this, but he never does. If he implodes, I guess she'll be there. But for her, she's never ran for anything. She has notoriety because she was the head of the BCA. So maybe this is an opportunity for her to build up her state name ID and then maybe run for something again in the next cycle.
So maybe she doesn't try to create any, you know, real ripples in the race, because you have to wonder, and we've been talking about it for weeks, how do you go at the lead horse, who right now is Mo Brooks? We saw Linda Blanchard. Her tactic was to say that Brooks was left of her and taking donations from liberals and liberal companies. That doesn't seem to work, and I don't know if you can go ahead and say Blanchard is not in the race any longer after Brooks hit back, but what lane does Katie Boyd Britt take here? Do you think she just kind of just stays in the race and tries not to create too much wake in her path?
Well, here's what she thinks. Maybe they think they got the goods on Mo Brooks. I cannot imagine what that is. It would have to rise beyond the level of Roy Moore, and that's difficult to top. But even then, in a election cycle where you're going to have Republicans really coming out to vote, how do you do that? But her goal, I would say right now, we'll let Blanchard and Mo Brooks go at it. Blanchard has has more to gain. Congressman Brooks has nothing to gain. I don't know why he's punching back at her. And then hopefully you can keep him under 50%. You get in a runoff, and then it's a jump ball 50-50 chance. Well, it's not really 50-50, but it's a better chance than you are sitting here today.
Go ahead. Well, I wanted to get to your guest list here in a minute, but first, the name you mentioned earlier, Secretary of State John Merrill. There was talk of political ambition for him, and then you had the he said he had an affair with his wife. All that came out here over the last couple of months. So what does he do now? Does he take a red shirt year here and just kind of sit it out for a while, or does he run for something?
Gray shirt.
Well, he said he's not running for anything in his come clean statement. So I don't know. He was always kind of like a guy I thought that probably had hit his ceiling. And maybe he's more gubernatorial material pre-affair disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he goes back into the, goes back into that sort of lobbying sector or government affairs sector. Or back in Tuscaloosa and does something there. He does know his way around Montgomery, and he's got something to lend. He does offer some value, but I think he is just too toxic.
He'll end up in a year's time a weekly guest on the Jeff Poor Show. That's my prediction.
Yeah, and no pun intended there with the government affairs, I'm sure. what guest do you have on the way today, Jeff?
So we got Dick Brubaker. He's former state senator from Montgomery. We'll get him to weigh in on the state of the Republican Party politics in Alabama. Clint Reed with the College Republican Federation of Alabama. Eddie Scarry, Washington Examiner. And we wrap it all up with the Yellowhammer News of Sean Ross.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll listen for you in just moments. FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton doing it all over again tomorrow beginning at 6.